Welcome to Hot Off the Wire, a daily podcast that looks at the top news, business, sports, and entertainment stories as reported by the Associated Press. I'm Terry Lipschitz, managing editor at the National Newsroom at Lee Enterprises and your curator of news. Be sure to subscribe to Hot Off the Wire through Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss daily news updates. And now the latest headlines.
AP News. Good morning, I'm Ed Donahue. Economists expect a strong jobs report for February from the Labor Department this morning, but the outlook is cloudy and getting cloudier as the Trump administration wages trade wars, purges federal employees, and tries to deport millions of immigrants. President Trump is delaying some tariffs on Canada and Mexico. He says he talked with Mexico's new president.
On people coming in and drugs, and we've made tremendous progress on both.
Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau is pushing back.
Even the excuse that he's giving for these Paris tariffs today of fentanyl is completely bogus, completely unjustified, completely false.
In addition to his claims about fentanyl, Trump has insisted the tariffs could be resolved by fixing the trade deficit. Stocks are lower in overseas markets. The president suggested again the U.S. might abandon its commitments to NATO if member countries don't meet defense spending targets. He's also worried about the possibility the U.S. may need help from NATO.
And we called them. We said, we got a problem, France. We got a problem, couple of others I won't mention. Do you think they're going to come and protect us? They're supposed to. I'm not so sure.
This comes at a time of heightened concern in the West over Trump's cozy relationship with Russian President Vladimir Putin, who has long seen NATO as a threat. Prime Minister Viktor Orban says Hungary will poll its citizens on Ukraine's potential future membership in the European Union. Clashes between Syrian security forces and gunmen loyal to former President Bashar Assad in the coastal region have left more than 70 people dead. SpaceX launched another massive Starship rocket, but lost contact minutes into the test flight as the spacecraft came tumbling down and exploded. This is AP News. Pope Francis has been in a Rome hospital for 3 weeks, being treated for pneumonia.
Pope Francis had offered a first public sign of just how weak he is on Thursday by recording an audio message that was broadcast to the faithful in St. Peter's Square, who gathered for the nightly recitation of the Rosary Prayer. Local resident Esther Conversano describes how it felt to hear the voice of the Pope for the first time since the illness struck. Very moving, she says. It's a tired voice, but in its own effort, he still transmits his hope to us and the truth also of his suffering. While Vatican employee Alexandra De Carol tells the AP it was heartwarming. Why? For two reasons. First, because it had been so many days since we'd heard from him. We'd not seen him, so it was nice to hear him because of this. In short, we remembered him during his last audience, and then later he had sort of disappeared. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
I'm Ed Donahue, AP News.
A federal judge has given the Trump administration until Monday to pay nearly $2 billion owed to the partners of the U.S. Agency for International Development and the State Department. The order is in an ongoing case, with more decisions coming on the administration's fast-moving termination of 90% of that agency's contracts worldwide. U.S. District Judge Amir Ali ruled in favor of nonprofit groups and businesses that sued over the funding freeze. The judge has suggested skepticism of the Trump administration's argument that presidents have wide authority to override congressional decisions on spending when it comes to foreign policy. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
A federal judge has reinstated a board member whom President Trump removed from an independent labor agency. National Labor Relations Board member Gwen Wilcox sued the president after he fired her on January 27th. U.S. District Judge Beryl Howell ruled that Trump does not have the authority to remove Wilcox. Wilcox's attorneys say no president previously tried to remove an NLRB member. Government attorneys argue NLRB members should be removable at will to ensure democratic accountability. During a hearing Wednesday, Howell jokingly referred to herself as a speed bump for the case on its way to the Supreme Court. Wilcox is the first Black woman to serve on the 5-member board in its 90-year history. Mike Hemp in Washington.
A second federal judge has extended a block preventing the Trump administration from freezing federal grants and loans. Judge John McConnell with the U.S. District Court in Rhode Island granted a preliminary injunction in a lawsuit filed by nearly two dozen Democratic states. In his ruling, McConnell said the states had demonstrated standing and that the executive branch was trying to put itself above Congress. Government lawyers argue the court lacks the constitutional authority to block a funding pause. Rhode Island's Attorney General Peter Nerona applauded the ruling, saying, "We don't have kings in this country," and today's preliminary injunction reaffirms that. In a statement, Nerona says Trump tried to subvert the rule of law through his executive orders. It's not clear if the funds will begin flowing again. A judge in Washington, D.C. has also extended a block with a preliminary injunction requested by groups representing thousands of nonprofits and small businesses. I'm Jennifer King.
President Donald Trump says he's instructed department secretaries to work with Elon Musk's Doge in his cost-cutting efforts, but to be very precise about which federal employees will stay or go.
And we want them to keep the good people, and so we're going to be watching them, and Elon and the group are going to be watching them, and if they can cut, it's better. And if they don't cut, then Elon will do the cutting.
Trump says in a social media post that job cuts should be made with a scalpel rather than the hatchet. Musk told Republican lawmakers in private talks this week that he's not to blame for the firings of thousands of federal workers, but that those decisions are left to the various federal agencies. Republicans have been publicly supporting Musk's work at the Department of Government Efficiency, but they're privately raising questions. Donna Warder, Washington.
President Donald Trump is taking action against more adversaries. The president is taking away the security clearances of attorneys at a prominent law firm involved with launching now discredited opposition research during the 2016 presidential campaign. The firm Perkins Coie was looking into any ties between the Republican candidate and Russia. The sanction of the firm is the latest in a series of attacks by Trump and his administration targeting a broad cross-section of perceived enemies, including Justice Department prosecutors, career intelligence officials, and most recently, private practice attorneys. Haya Pinjwani, Washington.
President Trump is delaying tariffs on most goods from Mexico for a month. It's the second time the president has postponed the import taxes since unveiling them early last month. This move comes after he spoke with his Mexican counterpart. It follows the president's commerce secretary saying tariffs on Canada would likely be delayed too. Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau says a broader month-long pause is a promising sign, but says it means American tariffs are still in place, and so are Canada's. Trudeau indicates he expects a trade war with the U.S. for the foreseeable future. A Trump envoy says Ukraine has itself to blame for a pause on American military aid and intelligence sharing.
They brought it on themselves.
Keith Kellogg, the president's special envoy to Ukraine and Russia, tells the Council on Foreign Relations Ukrainian leader Volodymyr Zelensky was told last week's Oval Office talks would focus on signing a rare earth minerals deal with the U.S. But Zelensky instead made demands of the U.S. to side with his nation, leading to a blow-up and the aid and intelligence cutoff, which Kellogg says is having an impact on Kyiv.
The best way I can describe it is sort of like hitting a mule with a 2x4 across the nose. You got their attention.
Zelensky says he's still willing to sign the minerals deal. Kellogg says he cannot guarantee weapons will again flow to Ukraine, even if that happens. The House has voted to censure Texas Democrat Al Green for disrupting President Trump's address to Congress this week. On Tuesday, Green stood and shouted as the president said he had a unique governing mandate.
Mr. Green, take your seat.
House Speaker Mike Johnson acted when Green did not sit.
Remove this gentleman from the chamber.
Yesterday,
I would do it again.
Green was unrepentant, and this morning in the same chamber,
Representative Al Green be censured with public reading of this resolution by the Speaker.
Green and other Democrats sang, "We shall overcome," as Johnson read the censure resolution. Sagar Meghani, Washington.
A lunar lander by the private company Intuitive Machines has landed on the moon. The Athena lander dropped out of lunar orbit as planned, carrying an ice drill, a drone, and two rovers after about an hour descent. But in this tape from Intuitive Machines, they don't know yet if the lander is upright.
And we are working to evaluate exactly what our orientation is on the surface.
The last time Intuitive Machines landed a spacecraft on the moon, it ended up sideways. That was a year ago. But officials say Athena is communicating with controllers and generating solar power. I'm Donna Warder.
Multiple cars have been recovered from the Columbia River, including one that may belong to a long-missing Portland family who vanished after they went for a drive to find some Christmas greenery. Ken and Barbara Martin went missing in 1958, along with their three daughters. Two of those girls washed up downstream a year after they vanished, but the rest of the Martin family were never found. Authorities say the car is caked in mud, so investigators are still trying to determine if the car actually belonged to the family. I'm Haya Panjwani.
For the first time in 15 years, someone is scheduled to die by firing squad. Brad Sigmund was convicted in South Carolina of killing his ex-girlfriend's parents in 2001. George Washington University law professor John Bansaff says Sigmund had three choices.
In his lawyer's words, that's between a violent death by firing squad, a torturous death by lethal injection or electrocution, which he says is basically frying his client.
Five states, Idaho, Mississippi, Oklahoma, South Carolina, and Utah, authorized the use of firing squads in certain circumstances.
And by the way, the firing squad has been held unconstitutional in South Carolina, but it's okay now because he has a choice. Barbaric and ironic.
Death by firing squad could become Idaho's primary method of execution under a bill awaiting the governor's approval. There have been questions recently about lethal injections. I'm Ed Donahue.
I'm Seth Sutel, and this is the AP Markets Report. Stocks resumed their slide on Wall Street as whiplash over tariffs increased and as AI stars lost more of their shine. The S&P 500 fell 1.8% Thursday. The Dow Jones Industrial Average dropped 427 points. It's about 1%. The Nasdaq Composite sank 2.6%, finishing more than 10% below the record high it set in December. The stock market fell after President Donald Trump offered another temporary reprieve on some of his tariffs. The latest reversal deepened the uncertainty around Trump's rapidly changing tariff stances. Several AI superstars also fell sharply, giving back more of their gigantic gains in recent years. Seth Sutel, New York.
Fewer Americans filed for unemployment benefits last week. Jobless filings dropped by 21,000 for a total of 221,000, significantly fewer than analysts expected. It's another sign the labor market remains steady before an expected purge of federal government employees. The jobless claims are considered a proxy for layoffs, and some analysts expect the federal workforce slashing ordered by Elon Musk's Doge effort will show up in the report in coming weeks or months. The government will release last month's jobs report tomorrow. Sagar Magani, Washington.
Mortgage rates come down for the seventh week in a row. Mortgage buyer Freddie Mac says the average rate on a 30-year mortgage fell this week to 6.63%. The rate averaged just above 7% as recently as mid-January. The recent decline brings it closer to the two-year low of about 6% where it was in September. When mortgage rates decline, they give homebuyers more purchasing power. That's welcome relief for home shoppers as the spring home buying season gets going. I'm Alex Vega.
AP Sports, I'm Gethin Coolbaugh. The Lakers overcame a 10-point fourth-quarter deficit to beat the Knicks 113-109 in overtime for their eighth straight win. Luka Doncic scored a team-high 32.
We were physical, we couldn't stop, and then we just play our basketball on offensive end.
NHL, the Devils traded for veteran defenseman Brian Dumoulin from the Ducks. The Panthers added center Nico Sturm from the Sharks, and the Golden Knights reacquired winger Riley Smith from the Rangers. Yankees pitcher Luis Gil will be sidelined for at least 3 months because of a high-grade lat strain, and designated hitter Giancarlo Stanton would have surgery on his elbows only as a last resort, both according to general manager Brian Cashman. Gil, the 26-year-old reigning AL Rookie of the year, cut short a bullpen session last Friday because of tightness in his pitching shoulder. Additionally, infielder DJ LeMahieu told reporters he has a grade 1 or 2 left calf strain and will be sidelined for several weeks in his fifth straight injury-hampered season. Deshaun Watson's contract has been reworked for the second time in 3 months by the Browns, as the team looks to clear salary cap space ahead of the new league year. A person with knowledge of the move tells the Associated Press the latest restructuring of the quarterback's contract will clear nearly $36 million in cap space. The Browns were nearly $22 million over the cap before restructuring Watson's deal. The 29-year-old may miss the entire 2025 season after rupturing his right Achilles tendon for the second time in 3 months in January. Bengals All-Pro edge rusher Trey Hendrickson has received permission to seek a trade. And in golf, Wyndham Clark has a two-shot lead after an opening 67 at the Arnold Palmer Invitational. Pregnant players on the women's tennis tour now can receive 12 months of paid maternity leave, and those who become parents via partner pregnancy, surrogacy, or adoption can get 2 months off with pay. That is available under a program sponsored by the Public Investment Fund of Saudi Arabia and announced Thursday by the WTA. More than 300 players are eligible for the fund, which is retroactive to January 1st. The WTA would not disclose how much money was involved. The program also provides grants for fertility treatments, including egg freezing and IVF. I'm Gethin Kulba.
Eurostar trains to London and all trains heading to northern France have been brought to a halt following the discovery of an unexploded bomb dating back to World War II near the tracks. France's main train operator, SNCF, says in a statement that traffic will be stopped at the Gare du Nord station until mid-morning Friday at the request of police. It adds, "We invite travellers to postpone their trip." The Gare du Nord is a major European transport hub. Bombs left over from World War I or World War II are regularly discovered around France, but it's very rare to find them in such a people-packed location. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
Volunteers in the occupied West Bank are cooking up trays of chicken and piles of rice, hoping to provide some joy to displaced Palestinians marking the Muslim holy month of Ramadan. The Yasser Arafat Charity Kitchen in the city of Tulkarem in the West Bank has been providing daily meals for up to 700 people, trying to improve what's been a desperate reality for many. In just a few weeks, the Israeli military has displaced more than 40,000 people in the area who aren't allowed to return to their homes. Many have no access to kitchens, are separated from their communities, and struggle to mark the end of their daily fast for Ramadan with what are traditionally lavish meals known as iftar. Israel's most recent operation has dimmed spirits during Ramadan, but some are drawing hope from the charity kitchen. I'm Karen Chamas.
I'm Terry Lipschitz, thanking you for listening. Audio provided by the Associated Press. Be sure to subscribe to Hot Off the Wire on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss an episode.